This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ta'alofa lava to all of our Samoan listeners and welcome everyone across the Pacific to Neesian Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. And it is the number one spot because of my friend here alongside me, my Cook Island Koi, Tinirao Arona.
Kia ora, Sammy. Jeez, it feels like we haven't seen each other in a while.
You know, when I haven't seen you at least two or three times a week, my week feels incomplete. So it is good to have you back, my friend.
I love the stuff that you're doing during the week. I've seen on social media you're down supporting the First Nations and Pacifica boys. Totai Kefu led that team. Man, what was that experience like?
Yeah, it'll be cool to chat to him later on in the show, but wonderful experience, and it'll go down in the history books for me as something special, especially being Tongan, mum's Tongan, and then just wearing my tupenu and ta'ovala. I got my wife to get my mother-in-law to get that ready for me to take with me on the plane, and I hardly ever take check-in luggage. Always take just overhead luggage. So I had my tupenu in my hand, but I had the kafa, which is the rope that goes around. And I had that in my bag. And as I put it through the scanner, it flagged. And then so the guys opened up my bag and the rope's come out. The kafa's come out. He goes, excuse me, mate, what are you doing here?
What was it?
The rope piece that
so
goes around.
He was worried about that.
And I was like, rope. Oh, I was trying to explain it to him. He goes, yeah, mates, you know, that's you can't take that on the plane because you could tie someone up.
A domestic plane?
On the domestic one. So I was like, what do I do here? And lucky the other security guard came across. He goes, oh, look, I know what that is, mate. You're just going to have to just check it in. And I thought they were going to confiscate it. And I thought, how am I going to tell my mother-in-law that I've lost your guffer?
Actually, you were there doing some work as well for ABC, doing some media work. What was it like to be able to wear that, but also as a staff member, getting the media on the sidelines, commentary, doing it all?
Yeah, it was cool to see it from a different angle and to be able to, Will Hopoate on Monday said, are you going to represent the boys or what?
Yeah.
And so, because I was thinking, man, it's going to be freezing down there, and it was, but lucky the roof was on, so it wasn't actually that cold on sideline. To wear that, people in the crowd really acknowledged the fact that, hey, someone from media was representing our people by wearing their traditional attire. So that was cool. And I had Sekope Kepu actually put it on for me. So I forgot how to do it. I couldn't do it by myself. So he did that. And just being there in and amongst it and getting some interviews after the game, I thought it was, it will be a highlight of my career so far.
We'll dive a little bit deeper with your journey there and also when we speak to Totai Kefu and that Pacific First Nations game against the British and Irish Lions. But we'll also touch on NRL round 21 is underway. The Storm took on the Roosters last night, and then I'll cover a couple games throughout the weekend. And then we've also got Salah Tongatuki joining us to cover NRLW round 4. So let's get straight into it, Neesian Footy Fridays.
Hey guys, I'm Alan Alalatoa. I'm from the Wallabies, and you're listening to Neesian Footy.
All right, T, here we go. We will get into rugby. Can't wait for that, but we always start with rugby league. Have I missed anything? It's been a week. Any news?
Well,
updates?
Obviously, I wasn't here on Monday, and thank you, Will, for jumping in. I had to go down to the Brisbane Broncos for a club visit. I work with the RLPA, so went down to the Broncos and actually seen Gihamat Shibasaki and congratulated him for his state of origin.
I like where this is going.
And then as we're walking, go, hey, bro.
How's the family?
Are you from Palau? And then he goes, nah, man, I don't know where that come from, but I'm not from Palau. Nah, he's got no connection to Palau, so I'm sorry to all our Palau people. We've been saying it for a long time
this year.
And I'm like, bro, I run this, we do this radio show. It's called Neesian Footy, and we've said your name that many times because we thought you were from Palau. And he goes, nah, that's false news.
Oh my God, you're blowing my mind there, T.
I thought I'd blow your mind there.
Yeah, no, we needed that fax because otherwise we'd still be running with it if we didn't have that news.
Well, let's get straight into last night. Round 21 kicked off. The Roosters, they played the Storm. Mate, 11 tries were scored in this game. 34-30, the Storm just edged out the Roosters. So the Storm winning this one. But our Tongan Rooster, Daniel Tupou, he scored 2 first half tries, making it a total of 177 tries, NRL tries.
9 out from the Melbourne line, 10 in from touch, southwest corner, bring out the last. The ball played and it comes to the left. Sam Walker, a crossfield kick. Tupou against Bradley. Up they fly, Daniel Tupou comes down with a footy at 30,000 frequent flyer points. That is the blueprint for a Sam Walker crossfield kick. Tupou has a double, 15 and a half gone. Sydney Roosters back in front. Roosters 10, Melbourne 6. A, it was a spectacularly good kick from Walker, Matthew Elliott, and B, an even better catch and grounding from Tupou.
He is now the 5th all-time NRL top try scorer with 177. The highest is Ken Irvin.
Yep.
He's on.
It's going to be broken soon,
212,
though.
Broken soon by PNG flyer Alex Johnston. He sits at 2nd with 207. So 5 to go. 207 Alex is on, but Daniel Tupou just scored 177th try in the NRL. So congratulations on his milestone. Now, the big news out of this game was when the Daily M 2024 Player of the Year went down, Jerome Hughes. So he dislocated his shoulder, had to get taken off, and then reports are that he had to go to the hospital because they couldn't get the shoulder back in. Painful.
That is. Have you had yours yet?
That is a painful injury. No, but I was with. We actually played Jesse Sennett-Lefol in England when it happened to him. He scored a try, shoulder popped out. They took him into the sheds, and it wasn't until like after the game when they had to pretty much jump on his shoulder to get it back in. But he said it was the most.
I was so lucky. Mine went in straight away.
Oh, yours popped straight.
Mine popped out like that. So the more it got caught between a more and it spun my shoulder, and I just felt this dunk like came out, and I fell on the ground, and then the physio just goes, "Put your arm up straight away," and I was like, "What?" Put it up and went
click back in. And then
painful.
Did you carry on or
nah,
step it up?
I had to go get surgery straight away.
Oh, you got surgery?
Yeah, 6 months. So hopefully Jerome Hughes isn't going to be out for that long, though.
Well, speaking of Jesse Sennett-Lefol's injury, he was playing like 3 weeks later. So he didn't have to go get surgery, but he said it was painful and they had to strap it down. He had to do a lot of shoulder rehab work. So, you know, thoughts are with Jerome. Hopefully it doesn't put him out for the season, but there was a big moment now. After this, so you've got no Jerome Hughes, you've got no Cameron Munster, but you do have Harry Grant. Now, I heard on Monday's show, Will Hopewate talks about Harry Grant's charge down against the Manly Seagulls.
Little tickle of the leg.
Caused the penalty, and then Manly go on and win their game. Mate, Harry Grant turned on one of the best NRL club performances that we've seen in a long time. He really just directed the Melbourne Storm and drove them to victory. Now, he scores a try of his own, but he also had 2 try assists. One of his try assists, the last one, was to score the match winner, and that was to Samoan Storm player Stefano Doikamanu.
And he runs across field, backwards, then straightens into Walker, who's taken at the second attempt, 11 out. Last tackle, Melbourne. Out of dummy half, Harry Grant. He goes himself. Got the pass away left to Stefano Utuakamanu. He's overrun, touched. Another prop scores. Another change to the lead. And it's Melbourne 32, Sydney Roosters 30. Stefano Utuakamanu's over.
So Melbourne Storm win this one 34-30. A couple of other games that I'm looking forward to watching this weekend in round 21 NRL. First one is the Bulldogs versus the Manly Sea Eagles. This one's special because the Bulldogs are celebrating their 1995 premiership win over the Manly Sea Eagles. They won that one 17-4. So it's 30 years since they won this game. So they'll be celebrating this one this weekend. Also, a staff member of the Manly Sea Eagles was actually playing in the Bulldogs team. Can you guess who?
Jimmy Dimmick.
So a big weekend for both teams. I think Manly Seagulls, you know, after their big win against Storm last week, they're just trying to find that momentum because they're a big chance of making that top eight, but they've got a big run home. Bulldogs sitting second, 32 points. They can still chase down the Canberra Raiders, who are sitting first, 34 points, and yet the Seagulls are now seventh, but need to win games to stay there. Bulldogs, Bronson Cherry, he returns from his groin injury, which shifts Inari Tuala to the wing, which unfortunately sits out Jeffro Renekama after his match winner last week. But I think there's a really good lesson in this one. Now, when I was at the Roosters 2013, Trent Robinson, he says, it's going to take a squad to win the premiership.
Absolutely.
So I got to play three games in that year. It wasn't in the finals, but I got to play a role. Now, with all the young kids in each squad, they get their opportunities. But when it's your turn to step up, you have to play a role. And I think Jeffro here played his role, but also pushed himself forward for future opportunities as well.
Absolutely, T. Like those opportunities, he probably thought he wasn't going to get one game this year. Now he got two. He got two tries. He's won two games. So he's on a high. But this is part of the journey where you do have to, you know, bide your time, go back, keep working on your craft because your number will be caught at some point again. And you're preparing for all those opportunities you don't have. And it's just a really good lesson. You've got a taste. So that should actually make you hungrier for
work harder.
Yeah, for more opportunities.
It's hard to play one game, but it's even harder to stay there. Now, Jeffro gets his opportunity. I've known some players who got that opportunity, didn't perform well, and don't get that opportunity
again. Right.
So great work to Jeffro, and I'm sure that he's got plenty more games to come. Sitili Tupanua, he also is out due to a hamstring injury. Now, Manly Seagulls, big news coming from their camp. When I mean big, I mean big player, which means Haumole Olakau'atu returns from his shoulder injury.
He's three away, centimetres in from the eastern touchline. He'll get up and play the ball. They'll come back open side right. Brooks will kick across field towards the post. Olakau'atu! Oh my goodness! That is an incredible take from the back rower. Flies high, takes it AFL style with the fingers pointing to the skies. Haumole Olakau'atu, take a bow.
And he'll be playing this weekend against the Bulldogs. Big matchup, Haumole Olakau'atu versus Viliami Kikau on the same side. What
that
an
sounds,
exciting
that
matchup.
Sounds painful. Wow.
I would hate to be that half's next one. So Daly Cherry Evans having to tackle Viliami Kikau.
Plays the ball to Talangi. He accelerates out of dummy. Oh. A ball bang! Kick out, hit him with everything. 28 out from the goal line. Talangi does well to get up.
And then whoever is that half next to Viliami having to deal with Haumole.
It'll just be one for one. One for one down those edges. But the halfbacks, hopefully they got their shoulders on for this one.
A massive game to look forward to. And lastly, the Panthers versus Tigers. The only reason why this one stands out to me is because the amount of ex-Panthers that are playing for the Tigers and just seeing some of these matchups. So Sunia Turuva, Taylor May, Jerome Luai, Api Kotosau, and even Taylor May, and then even Terrell May, who was a Panther junior. But then on the reserves, you've also got Brent Naden and Charlie Staines. So a lot of ex-Panthers there coming up against their old club. Couple matchups, Casey McLean versus Taylor May. Casey McLean, if you remember when they played the Bulldogs, really tried to give it to Stephen Crichton, you know, trying to say, this is my position now. Well, that was also Taylor May's position. Taylor May, he's got a point to prove. Playing his old club, club that let him go during a rough time, but now he's back. I'm sure that he'll want to give it a good crack. Other matchup, Blaise Talangi versus Jerome Luai. You know, Blaise Talangi still growing into his role, but he's still got plenty to prove. Jerome Luai, four-time champ. You know, he'll want to show Blaise Talangi he's still that guy, and Nathan Cleary is his halves partner and has been for a long time. So that's a cool one to look forward to. And then final one is Moses Leota versus Terrell May. I think both being the enforcers for their team, both of them lead from the front. But I think Terrell May, he's also going to want to protect his brother Taylor May and give it a big performance.
Back to Alex Twole it comes. Offloads back to Hope. And now Terrell May on here again to Taylan May, who goes over in the corner. Taylan May receives it from Big Bro and goes in to score the try. And West Tigers respond after 13 minutes. It's 4-4, kick to come. West Tigers.
This sounds like those training runs on, say, Tuesday, the test match Tuesday type of things, where you got your two teams going at each other and it ends up in a scuffle because the war of words come out, someone goes hundies, and then it's on. So what a matchup.
Yeah.
What a matchup.
And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Both the PNG Hunters in the Queensland Cup and the Cavite Silktails in the New South Wales Jersey Flag have a bye this weekend. Rest up, fellas, because we go again next weekend. And let's shift over to rugby union. What a week.
What a week it was. And yeah, Dotto's going to cover that whole experience for us, so I don't need to go into any detail. We spoke in the intro about how much it meant to me just to be there on sideline commentating and being a part of it. Caught a ride on the team bus after the game with them to the hotel. A few cups of kava with the team, so I'm very grateful to be part of that opportunity.
But yeah, a few cups. You said you went home at 2:30, mate.
Yeah.
You told me off air 2:30 a.m. you left the hotel.
Yeah, but the game, we didn't get out of the game until midnight.
Actually, what did you tell your wife? That's what I
tell her the truth. I tell her the truth because
you were working.
I was working, and that's relationship building to get players on the show, T. So I was just doing some groundwork there.
Just tell me you got some interviews, surely.
Which leads me to my next bit of my segment. We are going to get to some interviews. I chatted with someone, Rob Liotta and Tongan Daniela Dupol, as well as skipper Kirtley Beal. So I've got them for us, T.
Great work, mate. And this was done for Nijan Footy or?
No, this is right for right now, or Nijan Footy Friday. It's just a snippet.
Yeah,
just a snippet, you know, because everyone's probably sick of hearing my voice. Let's hear from the players that played in it and their experience.
Mate, you know what? It was an enjoyable week with the boys. Some of the guys I haven't got a chance to play with, and some of the guys that I've played with before, like Lucan, Bucky, and Brandon. So it was good to connect and learn a little bit more about some of the boys, you know, culture, like Māori and the First Nation and everyone else. So it's been good. We just wanted to come here and enjoy it and have fun. And I think you saw that. The boys had fun out there and, yeah, really enjoyed it.
We certainly saw you boys have a lot of fun out there, and Rob scoring that try here in Burns City. You know, the Melbourne Rebels, you know, this could have been that game here, but you've done it in the First Nations and Pacifica team. How did it feel to score that try?
Nah, good, bro. Scoring in front of home, I got up straight away. You know, I forgot about how tired I was and just wanted to see the crowd, so I was looking for my family. But, yeah, it's been emotional for me this week. To be honest, I'll probably build up this whole week and then come today. I was just like hoping to fire today because just a bit of stuff going on. But, man, I'm just proud to represent my culture and be with Nella as well and all my boys here. Khan, something I'll definitely remember, and I hope to be back here to play with these guys again.
And, you know, having Tota Kefu, having Sikopi Kepu, having Tana Umanga as the leaders of this and bringing this all together, what was that like for you? Because I know you would have grown up watching these guys as kids. What was that like for you?
I mean, I've been around Kefs and Keps, but to see Tana up close and, you know, just watching him play and now get a chance to work with him, it was pretty special. And you know how we are as an Islander, they didn't have to say much. They just sort of look at you and like, okay, I'm going to get out there and do a job for you guys. And that's what we did all week. There was not much saying. Like, they just look, mate, get out there and have fun. Bit of this, bit of that, but yeah. Man, I'm so proud of the boys, hey. I think the boys should be proud. They did well.
Absolutely. And same for you, Rob.
You know, this week was like not something I'm used to, eh? Just like, you know, we are in our Islander mentality, but, man, yeah. Tana said at the start of the week, he said, if I don't hear music and I don't see boys smiling, I don't think we're enjoying it, Barry. That's all we did this weekend, like.
In Kama every night. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. How yeah, good.
I don't know. The Fijians like, let's have some cover before captains run. And I'm like, I've never fucking done these. sorry.
We're live. All good.
Did you hear that bit? He goes, I've never, we had to bleep that bit, never effing done this from Nella. But you could just hear it in their voices. even though like they went down 24-19, but it was a performance that they were proud of, and you know how much it meant to them.
Yeah, the thing I got out of that was they enjoyed camp, it meant a lot to them, and they're proud of their performance. And then they all got to connect as well. So some cool messages there, and great work getting the big Tongan Thor, and also Let's Rob Leota.
And it doesn't stop there. I also spoke to proud Darug man, Curtly Beale, about, you know, obviously what it meant to him and the week bringing all these cultures together.
Mate, it's monumental. It's very unique, you know, to be able to kind of come together, understand our cultures, and, you know, you learn that we're all similar. We all come from the same backgrounds, same journeys, all from our ancestors up until now, and we're still fighting the fight. And I think tonight was a really proud moment for all of us to hopefully aspire the next generations to come, because, you know, you look at us, like, you know, we play with instinct, we play with that brutality, that physicality, and the fans love that.
Hey, boy from Mount Druitt, we played together 16s, Aussie schoolboys, plenty of challenges along the way. How do you, you know, sum up your time, because it's coming to an end, not yet. But how do you, not yet, I know you still got plenty
up,
in there,
don't give up.
But, you know, how do you put this game, where do you rank this game compared to all the other ones you've played in?
This is up there, like top 300%. To be able to represent your family name, your culture, it's who we are as a people, you know, it's what we're made of, and it's really special, you know, for the First Nations Pacifica to be able to represent so many communities out there and so many people. It's really special and a dream come true.
Western Sydney's finest, St. Clair Comets, Curtly Beale, the skipper, made the top three moment in his career.
He's played some games.
That is massive. He's played for the Wallabies. He's played over in World France, Cups. Played in World Cups, and this be up there.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
It was special to speak with Curtly after that one, you know, because, again, we've got a strong connection and just that Mount Druitt boy, you know, coming through there, and he's done himself and his family and his culture very proud, and looking forward to see many more games from him, because he didn't like the fact that I said it's coming to an end. He doesn't want it to stop. But
so
yeah,
the wheels fall off, brother.
That's the one, mate. And the Wallabies, we will see Rob Valentini come back into the side, as well as Will Skelton. So they'll need those big boppers, you know, helping the Wallabies set the platform, because they were bullied in game one, and we'll see Lungi Gleeson come off the bench. And for the Lions, Sione Tuipulotu, their centre, is out with a bit of hamstring tightness, and Bundy Arki will come in, and I feel like the Wallabies are going to get over the Lions in this one.
Big call. Well, we'll get to that when we get to tipping. Let's head over straight to Sala Tongatuki to speak all things NRLW.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it's time to hear from our New South Wales Origin and NRLW superstar premiership winner with the Roosters, 2025 Origin winner, Tigers best than Ferris, Fetu Samoa and Jillaroo's player. The list goes on. Sala Tongatuki. Sala, welcome back to Nijan Footy Fridays.
Thanks, Sue. It's always good to be back on here. What's been happening?
Nah, nothing much. We're
just working.
Just working, living the dream, giving the people what they want. What is happening on your end? Three losses in a row.
You told us.
I'm going straight there.
I'm
going
to replay our conversation.
Is it
at the end of the year?
Is it a tough camp? How are we looking? Keeping the morale high?
Yeah. Obviously, it's a bit disheartening, copping three losses in a row. But again, like, you just got to find some positives in it. There were some good things in patches of our game. It's like we tidied some things from the last game, and then we fell back into, you know, just small things that really we killed ourselves there. Like, pretty much just penalties. And it's like, apparently there's a saying, 80%. The opposition's most likely to score a try if there's been an error, and then top it off with a penalty. So you're just pretty much carrying them to their try line. And we did that, I think, like more than once. And yeah, that's probably where Titans just came back and really got us at the very end.
Yeah, you can't compound a negative with another negative, because it leads to leaking points. This weekend, you've got the Sharkies. What's the chances of seeing Sala Tongatuki versus Tiana Benetani head to head, and just you running straight at her, seeing what happens?
You're I doubt good. I'll be running straight at her.
Well, Sammy, we've just lost the connection to Salah, and I think it might have been that question about running at Tiana Pinatani. She might have got scared, but it was good to...
Or the Tigers question in general.
It was good to quickly hear from her, but you know, luckily we're across our NRLW, and I actually really enjoy watching the game because it just looks like raw rugby league. So me and my sons, we love to just sit down, watch some footy, and I don't mind watching NRLW. I actually enjoy it. So what are some games, or let's pick a game each, that stands out for you this weekend?
I will go that matchup with the Sharks and the Tigers. So that one will be on Sunday. Sharkies probably trying to find their rhythm and flow in this competition. So I think they've lost one.
Yeah, so they got one out of three.
Yeah, one out of
so
three.
Two so points. And the Tigers not won one
donuts
yet.
Donuts at the moment. And there's some quality players across that team. You know, that matchup that, our Pacifica Stars, our Nijan Stars. We've got Tiana there being the skipper. We also, for the Tigers, of course, Salah. But we also have Losana Lutu as well at half. So I think she took a tough carry out of her end last week. She was barking at her forwards. And then she ended up taking that tough carry. So she will need to lead again.
That's a big matchup where you've got halfback Fiji and Losana Lutu versus Cook Islander Shante Kiriaratu. Both skillful players, both can direct their team around. But I think if they can transition pressure into points, then that team will most likely win. I think Tale Holmes is a big player for the Sharks, the Fijian captain. I think she plays a big role in if Sharks are to be successful. On the flip side, Kezi Yaps and Salah Tongatuki and Christian Piel. If those three really step up and go through the front door, you know, that will go
a long way. It's my new favourite saying that, go through the front door.
Kick down
just
the
kick it
front
down.
Door. Well, in another game, I'm actually looking forward to the Sydney Roosters versus the Bulldogs. Okay. We're actually going to be speaking to the coach of the Bulldogs, Braden Williami, and I'm really looking forward to having him here on Nijan Footy. But to this game, Rooster versus Bulldogs. Roosters, a big win over the Broncos. Three wins in a row. They're at the top of the ladder. The Bulldogs, they are 2 from 3, and really making a statement in this competition. A big matchup in the middle there. Roosters, Otessa Pule versus Angelina Tiakaranga Katoa. Angelina being Cook Island and the captain. And then you've also got Tegan Demick there, partnering there in the front row.
And don't forget the flying Fijian winger, Andy Bulecki, rugby union superstar. Now she's carving up in the NRLW. Hopefully she gets some clean ball on the edges and scores a couple of tries.
Imagine if the Bulldogs win this one over the undefeated Roosters. That would be massive. So two big games to look forward to. And Salah, we'll see you next week on Nijan Footy Fridays. But Sammy, we're going over to add another two players to our Nijan Footy All-Stars.
What goes on behind the scenes in Pacific politics and how does it affect us? Polytalk is back to unpack the big questions like why is no one talking about PNG's political refugee crisis?
I can't even call it an election. It was something like a criminal thug war.
Join me, Scott Whitey, as I chat all things Pacific politics on Polytalk.
Tuesday, 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nijan Footy All-Stars!
Each week, myself and Sammy pick some players from league and union and we add them to our squad. At the end of the year, we will be picking our starting 13 and 15 in league and union. Sammy, who you got this week to add to your squad?
Yeah, going off that First Nations and Pacifica game against the Lions, the ones who stood up, and I'm so happy I get to put this guy in my team. I've been waiting for a long time, and we heard him just before Daniela Tupou. He comes straight in there. I thought it was one of his best games all year, and their centre, their outside centre, Samoan David Filiua, killed it. He played well for the Brumbies against them, and he backed it up again for this game.
Daniela Tupou, that's the secret, mate. You go get the kava, captain's run,
yes,
and you'll play like that every
exactly,
weekend.
Exactly.
the two that I'm joining in my team, they had big games and big moments for their clubs last week in round 20. The first one is the Tigers center, Taylor May, his comeback game. Man, he is a threat. The way that he scored his try, catching that ball from his brother Terrell May, and then he ends up setting up another try by skipping over, drawing the winger. He's going to add so much value to the West Tigers, and Taylor May, that is the reason why he'll be joining my squad. And then this kid, man, the whole of New Zealand has been screaming his name all week, even when I was watching
and
that game.
And Tonga? Of course.
All right, I'm pretty sure he's a bit Cook Island as well. But when he scored the match winner against the Newcastle Knights, I was in my lounge room and just jumped up with joy. And I don't even really support the Warriors. I don't support many
freak,
teams.
Man.
I'm just more Leka Halasima has made many fans from that moment. Man, what a player, what a talent. Leka Halasima, I'd love to have you here on my squad on Nijin Footy All-Stars.
Great picks, T. Great picks. And let's get over now to
Todai Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Todai Kefu!
With Todai Kefu.
Yes, every week on Nijin Footy Friday, we have a legend of the game to chat rugby. And this week, it is special because he has come off the back of leading the Pacifica First Nations team against the Lions, and he came so close to winning that game. He's played for the Wallabies 60 times. He's coached Ikaletahi for 7 years, and he is with us right now. King Kefu Totai, man, have you come down from that high of Tuesday?
We nearly got there, eh? Jeez, I thought that last 5 minutes when we were down in a quarter, I thought, Maybe, if possibly. But, yeah, it wasn't to be. But the boys, they had a crack, hey? I think they left everything out there. You could ask for more.
Huge congrats on, you know, the whole weekend. I know, you know, the public definitely are proud of the work that you've done and also the team as well. Have you had time to reflect on the whole experience, the whole week, the whole camp, and, you know, really got to reflect on some of those big moments?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think you know, it was a bit nervous actually, the assembly time and addressing the team. There were people from everywhere, but you know, I've always said the best thing about the Polynesians and the Indigenous, we connect really easy. We find that the easiest part. So it wasn't really too hard actually, but what a great week! A lot of the boys said they really enjoyed it, and you could see. During the game, they absolutely gave 100%. You couldn't ask for any more.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And they seem so connected in such a short amount of time. Now, what did you pick up from, say, like watching the Wallabies test and then being in camp with the Oz-New Zealand combined team? What did you pick up from there that you wanted to do different with your preparation through that week? Because the boys said it was an unreal week.
Yeah, look, I think, I tell you what, I was there for the whole week for the Australian-New Zealand week and geez, the coaches and the staff did a really good job. I thought that maybe they went into a little bit too much detail, but yeah, it's always hard to say, you know, how you get performance in the end. But the week, the Australian-New Zealand week was unbelievable. And once we got to the performance stage, it was bit of a lead balloon, wasn't it? Like the boys, there wasn't you couldn't see the intensity. We were losing collisions, so it was really disappointing to have a really good week and then finish off with a performance like that. Look, the one thing I tried to do with my week, we only really trained up until late lunch, and then we gave the afternoon and the evenings off. We did a cultural piece before dinner every day, half an hour, which I thought was amazing, actually. Moana and Maddie did a really good job leading that, and the boys really enjoyed that. And we just talked a lot about the pitches that we wanted to see in the game, showed a lot of footage. But really, at the end of the day, it's the mindset and the attitude that was really the most important thing, and that's up to the individual. You know, as soon as the whistle goes, you've got to get on your bike. That's where you flick the switch.
Yeah, let's talk about the game. You know, with a short amount of time to prepare, how do you think the Pacific First Nation boys went, and you know, where did they, you know, what were their strengths in this game?
There's two things we really wanted that were critical for us to get any success, and the first thing was the physicality. And I actually, I didn't talk. There was two things: the physicality and just being engaged in the game. Those were the two things. And what I meant by engagement is just being in the moment every minute, every second. You could see throughout the tour, the British Lions taking quick lineouts, quick taps. I think from a quick tap, they took two quick taps and they scored two tries. I think there was one against Perth right at the start. So for us, I really stress that, guys, we've got to stay in the game, in the moment. Every second, we've just got to be alive. The only times we switch off, half-time in the 80th minute mark. So really stress that throughout the whole week, about just being aware, being engaged, watching out for those quick taps, quick throw-ins. So that was our first point. And the second point was obviously what every other team talked about, was the physicality. And to tell you the truth, I think after the first 2 days, I kept driving those two things. After the second day, I didn't even talk about physicality. I just said, and, you know, I mentioned to the boys every time, I said, boys, you know what the second thing is? I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to be quiet. I know it's coming and we don't need to talk about it, do we? So that worked. You know, the physicality, I thought the collisions were unbelievable. So those two things is what were critical. If we didn't get those two things, you know, underneath those two things, you got your set piece, which had to be on point, and we had to win our own ball, and the kicking game, playing down the other end. But those two things were critical for us.
You know, when in the lead-up to this game, you know, we got to speak to you every Friday, and you kept saying that you got to go through the front door, you got to be physical against the Lions, you got to take it to them. And, you know, watching that unfold from the sideline, for yourself personally, how did it feel to know that your plan came to fruition throughout that game? Because some of those hits that the boys were putting on, a little bit borderline in terms of after they passed, they got the time where they still whacked them anyway. And after that first 10 minutes of two tries being scored, being down, but still the boys fronting up, and you just saw the Lions players slowly starting to get up, slowly starting to have a look at the defensive line. Now, yeah. How did that feel, like seeing that come to fruition, the boys just hissing like that?
Oh, look, it felt very, very satisfying. And we tried not to put too much detail around how we get that collision. You know, I said to the boys, look, you guys are professionals. You guys know what to do. We can talk all day about body height, you know, levers, shoulder contact. I don't want to talk about that. Like, to win the bloody collision, all right? Now, how you do it, I don't care. Just do it. So that worked really well. You know, and the boys played on the edge too. Like you said, you know, there could have been a couple more penalties. But that's what the Lions do. They play on the edge and, you know, they put pressure on the referee to make those decisions. And we got away with a few, I thought, too. So, look, well done to the boys because, you know, players like Charlie Gamble, Lou Kahn, they really brought that physicality for us.
Well, you just mentioned those two players, which was going to lead to my next question. Which players stood out for you during this game, the players that really stood up and took it to the British and Irish Lions?
Oh, look, I think everyone had a hand in this. And look, those two that I mentioned, Gamble, Luca, they certainly led the way. Darcy Swain, outstanding. Even the boys that came off the bench, look, I thought Jared McLeod had a cracker game. Now, he's a kid, never played professional rugby before. He's 21. He's been on the edge of the Brumby squad for the last couple of years. And he's got so much talent. He can turn into anything. He's definitely going to be a Wallaby. There's no doubt about that. And there's some other guys as well in the team that are on the fringe of their Super Rugby teams. So they absolutely brought their A game. And every moment, you know, they gave their best. Whenever they were needed to make a tackle or to take a hit up, they put their hand up.
How much time did you get to, say, chat with Daniela Tupou like individually throughout there and sort of get to know him and understand him, because someone that's probably had a bit of few challenges and maybe doubt in his form, mate, he was superb in that game. Scrum penalties, he was chasing everything. He was trying to charge down kicks. He was putting on hits. Like, what influence did you have on him?
Yeah, look, I had a few conversations with him, but I think the environment really took care of him. You know, we had some players there that knew him and took him under his wing and could understand him. Like, Daniela is a different beast, you know, and the thing is, if you can get him engaged and get him at his best, he's world class, okay? And you don't, players like him, you got to treat them differently. You know, you don't treat him like you treat probably some of the other boys. So, and you only do that for special athletes and players that can make a real special impact. He takes a little bit of massaging through the week and, you know, a few conversations here and there, but that relationship that you have with him, coaches or players, it's something that, you know, needs a little bit of a massage every now and then. Sometimes you need to put the boot up the bottom every now and then, but, you know, the good coaches, they know when to throw the arm around, they know when he needs to kick up the backside.
Remind me of last night when I was coaching my son's team. I had to blow up my son in front of the whole team just so the team knew, look, I'm going to treat you the same way that I treat my sons, and just learning that, you know, human behavior and how to treat those players.
Did you go into training knowing that you're going to do that? Like,
it nah, was just happened organically.
Okay.
Yeah. Coach, and it probably wasn't even his fault. And I went and spoke to him after. Oh, was that you? And he goes, no, it wasn't even me, Dad. I'm like, oh, well.
I just sent a message.
But you as a head coach, yeah, you must be very, very proud. But what was the lesson that you got to learn throughout this camp?
Geez, I think well, the coaching, you know, I got a really good insight into the Australian New Zealand environment for a week, and their preparation was unbelievable. Very organised, ticked a lot of boxes, and then the performance just didn't. Equate,
yeah.
You know? Whereas ours was, we probably trained less, and we probably focused more on connection, and the performance was unbelievable. Yeah. So it just goes to show, whatever happens during the week, it doesn't really matter, because if the boys aren't on mentally, if they're not, you obviously need a plan. And that's what you got to do during the week. And there's got to be a clear plan, you know, and you got to have a plan A, plan B, plan C in case you get different pitches. But at the end of the day, if the boys don't play for their coach or for what they believe in or for their team, waste of time. Everything before, it's waste of time.
Yeah, so I love how you keep it really basic. Focus on connecting by giving them two themes. So then, you know, we got players from different teams coming into one. So they're all starting to, you know, learn or get to connect and learn about one another by keeping it really simple and keeping those two themes to focus on. So then come performance time, you know, there's that clarity is there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've just touched on like really good points around. It's not so much what you know, how much you know, it's how much you care. Yeah, and that's what we've seen. That performance, everyone showed how much they cared for one another, even when those challenging times, they just still fronted up. So it was evident throughout that whole game. For yourself personally as a coach, you know, being back in that environment, leading front and centre, like where does that leave you in the sense of where do you want to take your coaching career? Because I know you can keep bouncing around in Japan. In my mind, man, you're too good to be out of our system. Like after that, like you're too good to be out of our system, not being involved. But where does that leave, you know, that fire in the belly in coaching?
Mate, I'm happy to keep singing karaoke.
No, I didn't see that.
The onsens.
Singing Prince songs into the wee hours of the morning in Japan, mate. I'm really enjoying my time there. I've got a little bit of a challenge with my next club, which I'm really excited about. You know, we finished last in second div last year. We don't have much budget, but the team's really ambitious. The company's really ambitious. So that's a bit of a challenge for me. I actually can't wait to get my hands on that, you know, and I'm envisaging, I've got a 2-year contract, I'm envisaging of doing a really good job, and hopefully they signing me on, and, you know, hopefully down the track I can take this team maybe to the brink of first division or closer.
Oh, I was hoping for, I'm coming back, man. I'm going to save the Wallabies. I'm going to be here.
I've already sent out 1,000 emails.
We need this
knocking
guy
on them
back.
Doors, kicking them down.
All right. In saying that then, where to with this Pacifica First Nations team to be an annual fixture, you know, maybe against the Māori All Blacks or something like that, and you know, being the coach of that or something, because it surely it can't go away.
Oh, look, I'd really love for this to keep continuing. A really great pathway for Indigenous kids especially, and for our Polynesian boys as well. So, look, look at how much success and happiness this has already brought. The boys loved it. The crowds, a lot of positive feedback after the game. And as you said, it could be a Maori game. It could be even a Wallaby warm-up game even. And then who knows, maybe a team in the Super Rugby down the track. Who knows where this can take us, but a lot of positives have come out of it.
I like your ideas. Did you ever get any calls or any chats with the Wallabies camp and, you know, maybe them asking, well, how did you prepare to play the Lions like this leading into game two? Did they try and take any of your tips?
Oh, look, I'm sure that some of the players would have passed on some feedback onto the coaches. But, look, I think just with our performance and the Wallabies sitting in the stands, I'm sure they would have taken a lot out of that. Just like I did with you know, the Waratahs when they played the Lions.
Yeah.
I thought they were outstanding. The Brumbies, to a certain extent, I thought were outstanding. So there's a blueprint there. Although, you know, easier said than done. You know, trying to get the players. I think the Test match tomorrow is going to be a ripper. I really think with our performance on Tuesday, the Wallaby players watching and having a look at how much the boys played with heart and how much passion, not only for the team but for each other, I think it's going to be a ripper of a Test match tomorrow. And I'm even backing the Wallabies to win tomorrow and even the Test series up.
Definitely would have gave the Wallabies some confidence after that game, you know, watching you guys play. But last one for me. How's my mate? I should ask you right at the start. How's my mate Sammy down at camp there? I'd seen him on the team bus after the game and carrying on a little bit. Was he all right? Did you look after him?
He did, mate. Red carpet.
He's walked in with his usual attire, and then on his way out, he had the jersey on. Indigenous artifacts that he's mate, he had all the gear.
A few cups of Carver as well.
Yeah, look, I need to thank the big man. But before we go, we're going to leave him, but with the Wallabies, mate, if Luke Khan doesn't get a start somewhere in this series, I'm not here. Like the bloke's played him 3 times now and been the best player on the field. Oh, what a performance from him.
Yeah, he drove our mindset and our attitude all week. Like, if you can get players or your leaders to do that, geez, it's an easy job for the coaches. And he was unbelievable. He was so fired up. And you know, the only thing I was worried about was not playing his game too early. You know, saving enough energy.
So no, he was on song, mate. He was unreal. Loved it. But from me, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me into the inner sanctum and
pleasure.
Being in there. Like I was, you know, we are media now, I guess, and you don't get to have those privileges sometimes when you jump the fence, but that it meant a lot to me to be in and amongst that sanctum again, and I just want to thank you and the staff and everyone involved for, welcoming me with open arms.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. Pleasure.
Beautiful.
Well, love your work.
Love your work, man. Love your work, and we'll chat next week.
Yes, for sure, boys.
What's up, ABC Radio Australia listeners? I'm Sosafina Formoli, and I want you to come hang with me for On The Record, your weekly deep dive into the music that moves the Pacific. We'll talk about the big tracks that inspire your favourite Pacific music artists and the real stories behind them. Plus, we'll uncover some gems that you might not know yet, keeping the heart of the Pacific alive and thumping. Catch On The Record Mondays at 3 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
I got Sammy an absolute beauty last week.
One of your
week.
Best, mate. One of you. The West
Tigers. Wait, tell the people what happened.
Man, last week we're talking off air. Oh, who should I go? You know, because obviously we don't want to pick the good teams because we want to save them for semi-final. He goes, oh, yeah, mate, go to the Titans and the Tigers game. Perfect. Where's it played? On the Gold Coast. Oh, home ground advantage. That's what I'm going for.
So
yeah, Nick Minute, Leichhardt Oval.
We finish our Nijin Footy Fridays with our knockout tipping comp. You can pick one team and you can't pick them again until we pick all the other teams. And last week, he goes Titans, I go the Tigers, and the Tigers just get the job done at Leichhardt Oval. I think it was because of the home field advantage as well. So I actually got 2 points.
And again, in hindsight, you're a genius. Obviously, it was a poor call from my end for a 28-point head start.
For the First Nations, yeah.
And thank you so much for not bringing that up with
us. Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Please don't throw me under the bus, man. I've just been on a high there.
When he said that you walked out with the jersey and the kid on.
Shout out like, Pete Summer, who gave me the jersey.
You should have heard him last week, mate. Okay, I kept let's that one on the low.
Yeah, thank you. Let's get into our picks.
Who you got? We got league. Well, let's go league first.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Broncos.
Broncos to beat the Eels at home.
Are they at home or are you stitching me up here?
No, I think Broncos at home, this one. Yeah. And then in my NRL pick, I am actually going to go tactically. Still want to get those bottom eight teams. So when it comes finals, I've got a lot of picks. So Cowboys versus Dragons, a tight one, but because this one's a Cowboys home game, I'm going the Cowboys to beat the Dragons.
Okay.
Rugby Union, what are we saying? British and Irish Lions, Wallabies, game
you're
two.
You're undefeated in this series so far. I've kept going the other way.
Totai Kefu said the Wallabies, he's confident that they'll get the job done.
They've got to. Like, honestly, if they've got one emotional performance, anyone can get up for one game. What if it just need to get to a decider? So I'm going to take the Wallabies. Can you give me a little bit of a head start?
I was going to say I'll give you a 1.5 head start.
Give me a little bit more than that.
2.5. Because that might be 3. I reckon if it's going to be very close.
Give me a 3.5.
3.5?
Just a penalty goal because it could come down to it. Please. On the run sheet it says 11, but anyway.
All right, I'll go the 3.5 start.
Okay.
On the British and Irish Lions. It'll be pretty embarrassing.
Come on, Wallabies. I know, that's the only reason why.
They win more than...
And Will Skelton's back.
Oh.
And Rob Valentini. Okay, anyway, all good. Hey, but before we finish up, we have to give a big shout out to the King, George Fiji Veikoso. Rest in love, brother. You've warmed so many barbecues, family functions with your music. Come on over, sweet darling. You're the man, brother.
Great
rest in love.
Out. He's brought some happy moments to many people.
Absolutely.
Rest in love.
Absolutely, man. And that's us done for Nijin Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you search us.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favourite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the era to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.